word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it.
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it.
In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, bless your people as they hear this word in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. You may be seated in God's presence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about why hell. I started to title this, What the Hell? But then I said, nah, y'all wouldn't like that because y'all so religious. So I decided to just title it, Why Hell? Hell and a Loving God. Yes. When you learn this, you will learn. Stop, Takako. My wife is making me laugh, y'all. All right. But hell, while it's not a funny topic, we should keep a sense of humor about this. Amen. Amen. Because it really is a miserable topic, but I don't want y'all leaving here depressed. But some of these things I have to teach y'all. And this is definitely not my favorite subject to preach on. But what I want you to understand, and I want to explain this to you from the Word of God, because we've seen videos, and the videos have scared us half to death, but it still has left questions in our minds. And the Word of God is the primary source for everything. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's nice that people have visions, but you know what? You don't even believe, even the videos I showed you, if they don't line up with the Word of God, you reject what's on those videos and go with this. Praise God.
Amen.
The problem with me, though, is the reason why I showed you the videos, because most of it, to me, lined up with the Word of God. So that's why I'm showing it to you. But praise God. But the thing I want you to understand is, why is there a hell? See, pastors haven't taught me that. What I'm going to be teaching you is stuff that is not to say that nobody's ever taught it. I'm just going to tell you that I hadn't heard it taught that often. Mm-hmm. I've heard people talk about hell and let me know that if I don't act right, I'm going. If I don't accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm going. But the thing nobody really ever explained to me thoroughly is, why is there a hell in the first place? Why does God find it necessary that people suffer torment forever and ever? Doesn't that bother you? Mm-hmm. It bothers me. Mm-hmm. Now, I know enough about my God to know he has good reasons for everything. I'm not just saying that religiously, because there are people who will just sit there and say, well, you know, he's God Almighty. Whatever he does. And he has a good reason for everything. Now, I don't go with that. But as I come to know my Father, then I know that whatever he does have a good reason for, and because he and I are close, he will explain it to me, praise God. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that the secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. See, if you fear God, God won't sit there and say, well, you know, I'm God, I do what I want. You don't like what I'm doing, then you just go right there too, with the rest of them. See, that's how some people panic, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Do what I say, not as I do. That's how I used to panic. Yeah, I know. I was guilty of it. You know, my kids want to know why they must clean up their room. And you know, a good explanation to my kids would have been, you know, well, you know, if your room is filthy, it can bring rodents in and cause problems for you, and it can cause health problems. But my kids, you know, I wasn't patient enough to explain all that. I told them, you do it, because I'm the head of this household, and if you don't do it, then you won't get this. So, that's not a good parent, I'm telling you. I did my best, but I really needed to learn a lot more. I'm so glad that my girls forgive me for that. Praise God. Actually, they tell me I was a good father, but, you know, I still, you know, I... I made some mistakes and I regret it. As I've come to know my Heavenly Father more, if I had known my Heavenly Father the way I know him now, I would have parented a lot better than I did. Praise God. Amen. But my Heavenly Father explains why there's a hell. And for our foundation text, let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. I'm going to explain to you how there can be a hell while God is supremely nothing but love. That he is not a torturer, nor is he a tormentor, nor does he delight in torment or suffering. Nor God is not one who gets joy out of vengeance upon his enemies. That's not God. You know, some of us, because we don't know better, and we've been taught satanic ways, we think that when somebody does us wrong, we just get happy when something wrong happens to them, amen? And especially if we're the ones who had the opportunity to do it to them. You know, like we used to say when I was young, I don't get revenge, I just get even. You know, I remember when this guy tried to rape my sister, and me and my brother went outside and we found the guy who was trying to do it, and we beat the living daylights out of the guy. If I look back, I was just enjoying beating the mess out of somebody that tried to hurt my sister. But that's not God, praise God. I've grown up, I've come to know Jesus now, and I've come to the place where even when somebody tries to hurt a member of my family, yes, I will protect my family, hallelujah. Amen. But I will get no joy out of trying to hurt somebody or do somebody because they tried to hurt me. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Amen.
God is not like that. That's why he doesn't want you seeking vengeance. That's why God wants you to pray for his enemies, because he wants you to be like him. Amen. Hell is such a horrible place that it breaks God's heart when people go. Amen. So why does he let them go? Why did he create the place in the first place? Why won't he? He's all powerful. He's almighty. These things are true. He can do what he wants. So why won't he stop it? Well, then let's look at Matthew 25:41. By the way, God is all powerful and he is almighty and he can do what he wants, but God can only do that which is according to his nature. Praise God. Amen. Even in his power, he can't violate his nature. It's just like this. I have enough strength to destroy these chairs. Praise God. I could take this chair and I could smash it right now because that's how strong I am. But just because I have the power, does it make sense for me to do it? No. No, that's stupid. Just because I have power to do something don't mean that I should do what I have the power to do. God has great power. He has all the power in the universe. But there's certain things he can't do. If my daughter decided, you know, Daddy, I don't want no more to do with you. I can't stand you. You're ugly. Your nose is too big. I'm leaving this house. I can beg her. I can plead with her. And I can say, honey, please, please. I'll fix my nose, whatever. Stay home. But if she decides she's going to leave, I may have more power than her.
Yeah.
But then what would y'all say about me if I locked her up in her room, chained her to her bed, and overpowered her that way?
You abuse.
What was that, Pastor Mary?
You are cruel.
I'm cruel. Amen. And but see, that's what some of y'all think God should do to keep people from going to hell. Some of y'all think that God should make people not go to hell or get rid of hell itself. Well, that's not the way God works. He can't do that. And I'm going to show you why as we go through this teaching. I don't think I'm going to finish it all today because as I've been studying this out, I've got so many scriptures on it. And we need to address some of the wrong areas about hell, and I need to show y'all in scripture, because there's a lot of deceptive teaching out there. There are people that try to make you feel good by telling you, well, you know, hell is not real, it's not a literal place, it's just a state of conscience. You're just going to sit there in a misty bliss and just regret all the things you did in your life. Oh, if that was the case, man, then hell wouldn't be so afraid of the place, praise God. Mm-hmm. Or the other ones that tell you, well, you know, you may suffer for maybe a couple of days, but then you'll be totally annihilated out of existence and you won't exist anymore. Mm. If that's the truth, then why don't I just go out and sin all I want if all I'm going to do is suffer a few days and blam, that's it? Or the ones who say, well, you're going to suffer for a little while, but then God will reconcile everyone to himself, and so you will no longer, you'll go through hell, and you'll repent, and then he'll bring you back to heaven with him because you've learned your lesson. Nope, that ain't happening. Or you go with the Catholics who tell you, well, you know, you're going to go through purgatory, you'll be between heaven and hell. If you come to the priest and pay him a couple $1,000, and then he'll get you out of purgatory and get you into heaven. But if you don't, boop, in the hell you go. That ain't happening. Amen? Or there's the ones who tell you, well, you know, you're saved now, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, sin all you want, you'll still make it in. That ain't happening. Amen? And that teaching is becoming big now. The grace teaching. Satan, he sure knows how to pervert stuff, I'm telling you. The grace of God is so real. I've experienced the grace of God, but some of the teaching that's going around now, grace has helped me to stop sinning. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't have no power to stop sinning. It was grace that helped me.
Amen.
But these people are telling you, because of God's grace, you can sin all you want. And God will let you in. No. He who sins becomes a servant of sin. And if you're going to be a servant of sin, you're going to go with your slave master. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So don't. I'm going to show you all this in scripture. I just want to throw these things on you right now. But Matthew 25:41. It says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Say everlasting.
Everlasting.
Everlasting means forever, baby.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let people, they're going to try to tell you, well, you know, in the Greek, it really means this. No. In the Greek, everlasting means everlasting. Praise God.
Amen.
When the same Greek word that talks about the everlasting fire talks about God being eternal. Mm-hmm. Does God ever end? No. So if God never ends, when he talks about eternal flames and everlasting fire, then that means that this is never ending. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for who?
Devil and his angels.
Angel.
For who?
The devil and his angels.
Now who was this fire prepared for?
The devil and his angels.
Was it prepared for these people that Jesus is saying, depart from me?
No.
But it's because they have chosen to leave Jesus in this life. Jesus is saying now, you separated yourself from me, so now depart from me. And go where you were following all this time. See, Satan and his angels, many eons ago, rebelled against God. Before you were ever created, before you were ever born, there was nothing but harmony in the universe. Praise God.
Amen.
There was no sin. There was no one being hurt. Everyone was happy. Everyone was full of joy. Everyone was full of love. Everybody looked out for the other. Praise God.
Amen.
The angels in heaven enjoyed the presence of God. And Lucifer, who was one of God's top angels, was very close to God. But one day, Lucifer decided that he was just going to, you know, he thought that he was just somebody else. See, sometimes we get caught up in the things that God has given us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you because God has blessed you with good looks, you sit there in the mirror and just credit yourself with them good looks like I do. I'm just kidding on that part. But, you know, but you forget that your gifts, your talent, your abilities come from the one on high. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And we don't want to use our gifts and our talents for the one on high. We use them for our own self-gain and our own self-purposes.
Yeah.
And this is what began to happen with Lucifer. He began to see all the giftings that God has gave him.
Mm-hmm.
He got himself caught up in pride. Mm-hmm. And he thought that, hey, because I am somebody else. I'm so special. I should be in charge. He didn't agree with the way God did things. He thought that God should do things his way, and God just wasn't going to have it like that, praise God. Now, because I know God's nature, I believe God tried to reason with Lucifer. He tried to help him understand, listen, Lucifer, you can't do it this way. The reason why I got the government going this way, my government of love, is because it continues to bring peace, harmony, and happiness. But Lucifer decided he didn't like it that way, so he disconnected himself from the life of God, praise God. And the sad thing is he persuaded at least a third of the angels to follow him, to rebel against God, so God had no other choice, and I believe it broke God's heart, I believe it broke Jesus' heart, but they threw him out of heaven, praise God. And so they prepared a place for him, since you want to be separate from us, since you don't like the way we do things, here, this is your place, praise God. And so the place was prepared for Satan and his angels, in which in the end time, they're going to be tormented forever and ever, glory to God. But those who decide to follow him, see, if Satan had rebelled by himself, it wouldn't say, and his angels. But he had angels that followed him in this rebellion. Can you imagine that? You're talking about maybe thousands, maybe millions of years from our perspective in God's presence, enjoying the presence of God. Nothing wrong. Nothing happened. No sickness. No disease. Nothing. None of the troubles and stuff that we see. And yet, still opportunities to be creative. No boredom. Because you have opportunities to advance and be creative and to do new things and to make new things happen, but without the struggle that we have now when we try to bring new creations into being. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when we try to accomplish something new, there's always some obstacle. See, you're going to find out when you get to heaven, the reason why there's not going to be any boredom there, because you're going to be able to do a lot of stuff and you will not have the obstacles that sin has brought here in the earth. Praise God.
Amen.
But they had all of that, all the wonderful bliss of heaven, and they decided, because they wanted to do things their way, they wanted to run the show, they wanted to run the boat, they decided, we don't want no more to do with you, God. And so God separated them from himself and prepared a place for them. Now, God created man. And God created man for the primary purpose of having beings just like himself, so that he can have fellowship with. Just like you and I like to have children, praise God. Those of us, we get married, and then we start, you know, some of us, we start planning our children, praise God. You know, hey, you know, like when I told my wife, I said I wanted to have six, we stopped at three. I said, I at least want two boys. She had the first boy, and she said, oh, he's enough. But so there's nothing wrong with planning to have children, praise God.
Amen.
And that's what God wanted. He wanted to have children. And not only that, God wanted to share in the creative process. Isn't God wonderful? He's not a control freak. He's not one who wants to keep everything to himself. He decided, I'm going to create one man and one woman, and they're going to share in the creative process with me. Praise God.
Amen.
They're going to populate the earth. That's why he told them, y'all be fruitful and multiply. Help me with the creative process. Bring more people into the earth. Even the animals were part of the creative process. That everybody was able to create. Praise God.
Amen.
And so God, he's not a control freak. He's not insecure. He wants everything working together in harmony with one another.
Amen.
And he wanted, and he created man specifically for fellowship with him.
Amen.
God is so loving. He's so kind. He's so giving. He has to give. It's a part of his nature. It's just like it's one of those things he can't help doing. He's got to give. And that's the way God is. And so he had to have beings that he can continually give to. Praise God.
Amen.
And so he wanted man forever to fellowship with him. And so one of the things he did, he created man. But he knew there was an enemy around. And he warned man of the enemy. He told him in Genesis chapter 2. He says, don't eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And then he told him, he said, guard this earth. Which means that there was intruder there, praise God. But he gave man authority and he said, guard this place. In other words, don't let no intruder in. But what did man do? See, Satan, notice Satan couldn't force his way in. Exactly, see, he's sneaky. He couldn't force his way in. If he couldn't force his way in, all he had to do was just come in and try and kill Adam and Eve. Just like the reason why he can't kill you. Oh, if Satan wanted you dead, if he was able to kill you, he would have killed you by now. Because some of y'all are such a threat to him. If Satan was able to kill me, believe me, he would have killed me a long time ago.
Amen.
He can't just kill you. Mm-hmm. He couldn't just do that to Adam and Eve. So what he had to do was get them to believe a lie. Mm-hmm. And make this long story short, they believed a lie. And they rebelled against God, and they began to follow Satan. Isn't that sad? Mm-hmm. Isn't that sad?
Amen.
That broke God's heart. But now, I want you to see from Scripture. We're gonna look at a couple of scriptures. Let me see how much time we got. Oh, we got time. We're gonna look at a couple of scriptures so that you can see that it is not, nor has it ever been, God's desire that any should perish and go to hell. Let's look at first scripture. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. You need to see these things from the Bible itself. I can explain it to you. I can tell you stories all day long. But this is where you really need to get grounded in. Because there's a lot of people saying stuff, and they're even opening the Bible and showing it to you from the Bible. But I'm telling you, they misquote the scripture. You got to know this Bible for yourself. You got to know this Bible. Don't just sit there and accept Pastor Troy's word on it. Don't sit here and accept anybody else's word on it.
Chapter 2, right?
Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Don't just accept a man's word on it. This book is your primary resource for all doctrine, praise God.
Amen.
If I contradict this book, then you go with this book and you forget what I said, amen?
Amen.
Matter of fact, bring it to my attention, please, so I can get corrected, hallelujah. And that includes any man of God, whether you watch him on TV, he comes into this church, whatever have you, you go with this book. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, praise God.
Amen.
For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now listen to verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
It is God's will that all men, how many men?
All men.
Now, we know that all men won't be saved, praise God. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't want it that way. We've got to face the fact that even though God is all-powerful, almighty, the great sovereign of the universe, there are some things that happen in his universe that he simply did not and does not want to happen, praise God.
Amen.
It's another scripture that just came to my memory that I gotta write down before I forget. Two of them, actually. I don't know if I'm gonna give them to y'all today, but I at least need to write them down because I know how I can easily forget later. Then I'm begging the Holy Spirit, please remind me of what you said earlier. But we see here that it is not God's will that anyone go to hell. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Some things that happen that in this world that God simply doesn't want to happen. Now some people will tell you, well, God is sovereign, so all that happens is the will of God. That is not true at all. And this scripture, it makes it plain and clear that There's many, 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 many things that happen in this world to include the fact that people are going to hell. It's not God's will that you be poor, praise God.
Amen.
It's not God's will that you be sick.
Amen.
God's will is for your health. Mm-hmm. God's will is for your abundance and your prosperity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you're getting cheated out of money, that's not God. That's evil people that's doing that to you. Amen?
Amen.
If people ain't paying you when they promise to pay you for doing stuff and they don't pay you, that's the evil people. They're being led by Satan, not by God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. But as I was explaining to one brother a couple weeks ago who is always getting cheated by people when he does stuff for them, I asked him, are you paying your tithes? I'm not going to give you his answer, but I'm telling you right now, one of the things you need to do in order to protect yourself is make sure you obey God in your tithes. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you this not for my benefit, because I don't get paid right now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the church is pretty well off. I'm telling you this for your benefit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want God's blessings? Do what God says to get the blessings. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Listen to this. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. See, it's not God's will that any should perish.
Amen.
See, hell was not prepared for any man. Hell was prepared for Satan and his angels.
Amen.
God has no desire that any man should go there. Turn with me to Ezekiel 18. Except in the Old Testament. God does not want any person to go there. It's not his will. It's not his desire. He don't want it happening.
Amen.
That's why when we watched the video, Jesus said, my heart is aching.
Amen.
He doesn't lead people through that. He wasn't taking those people through hell and showing them all the torches and sitting there saying, see? You see what that person did to me? That's why they're going through that. They rejected me. You know, Jesus didn't. He wasn't doing that. He was doing that with an aching heart. Whenever I read these books, when I was reading Mary Kay Baptist's book, every time Jesus showed Mary Kay some torture or torment that somebody was going through, not every single time, but in a lot of cases, when Jesus would walk away, he'd just start crying. He would just start crying. Bill Weiss, who wrote the book 23 Minutes in Hell, I haven't read the book yet, I'm probably going to buy it soon, but I remember listening to him on TV, and he was saying how as Jesus was bringing him back up from hell, and all these people were shooting down into hell, he said Jesus was just crying and crying just as he was watching these people going into hell. These things Jesus don't want it. He died for this. He
Amen.
Died to keep people from going there.
Amen.
He gave his life, shed his blood, went through a woman's birth. God Almighty goes through a woman's birth canal just so that he can save us from going to that awful place.
Amen.
How much more can God prove to us that he don't want people going there? There's really not much more he can do.
Amen.
Ezekiel 18. I mean, I don't want to get all emotional about this now. You know, my goal today is that y'all just understand that God really doesn't want this. So that you can, I want y'all to know that the God you worship is a loving God. He's a kind God. When you get to understand the character of God and you get to understand the horror of hell, you'll begin to understand why there is a hell. And you'll begin to understand that your God is a God of love in spite of this hell. Ezekiel 18. We're going to just look at two verses here. We're going to go to 23, and then we're going to skip down to 32. All of it is good, but I just want you to focus on these two verses for right now. You should read the rest of it later. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? God is saying, asking you, do you think I got pleasure in the wicked dying? The answer basically is no. I want him to turn from his ways and live. Verse 32, he makes it plain and clear now. For I have no pleasure. Say no pleasure.
No pleasure.
For I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. God has no pleasure in the death of anybody that dies. Death was never his plan. He told Adam, he said, Adam, don't do it, son. If you do it, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. He told him, don't do it. Amen. He didn't say, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, well, boy, if you mess up, I'm going to bring some destruction on you. So don't you eat that fruit. No, he said, son, don't eat from that tree. Because in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Mm. If you want to know why God put the tree there in the first place, you need to come to my class when I start teaching this again. We explained it during the last class, and I think I might even have a recording of it. Or get the book when we get the book published. I'm waiting for Terry to finish my cover. Mm-hmm. Terry the artist. And then Trisha will be doing the cover for my next book. Praise God. My daughters, I'll tell you, thank God for daughters that have talent. All right, Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, yeah, same book, different chapter. It's basically God saying the same thing here, but I want you to see it in black and white for yourself. God speaking to the prophet Ezekiel, and he says, verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Basically, God is saying, it don't make no sense that you die. All you got to do is do what I tell you. God is saying that every day as these people die and go to hell, they hear the gospel, many of them, and they still die. And God is sitting there saying, turn, turn. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, we beseech thee, this is the King James language, we beseech thee on the behalf of God, be ye reconciled to God. If you study that word out, he said, we beg you on God's behalf. That word beseech is talking about begging. It's almost like God is begging, please, please turn to me. See, that gives you a different picture of God, don't it? Mm-hmm. See, y'all picture of God many times was, yeah, go ahead and sin. I'm going to take this back and I'm going to beat you and put you and send you straight to hell. See, God's not like us.
Nope.
See, that was, although my picture of God, even from the time I was saved, it wasn't really bad. It still had some sternness, praise God. I saw God as a good God, a loving God, and a kind God. I didn't understand him as I really have come to understand him now. Amen. And so because of the way he was, I tried to become like the God that I saw, like the Father, Heavenly Father that I saw. And so I did my kids the way I thought God does us sometimes. He rewards you when you're good, but when you're bad, I mean, I was, now don't get me wrong, y'all, don't think I abused the kids, okay? I mean, you know, I gave them a couple of whaps with the belt on the butt, tried not to even do that hard, but at the same time, still, corporal punishment should be the last thing you do, amen? Amen. That should be the very last thing you do. I mean, when you have no other recourse, then take the belt. Before that, try to talk to the child, please. Terry's like, yes, please. Try to get help the child understand, and try other punishments first. Try to do other things first, you know, like take away something from them for a while. if they continue in rebellion, then yes, take the rod, because the Bible does talk about the rod, amen? Mm-hmm. The Bible talks about the rod, and it says that he that spared the rod hateth his child. So you must use the rod. But let that be your last resort, not your first. Because some people take those scriptures and they like, yes, the rod! And they just think that they got to beat the child half to death. No, please. And this is the way God is. He doesn't want to punish. He doesn't want to hurt. He doesn't want nobody going to hell. And he begs people, please turn. Turn from your sin. Turn to me. I will deliver you. I will save you. But people continue to choose to follow Satan. And that's why they're going to hell. Let me show you a couple more scriptures so you can see that's exactly what's happening right now. And remember, death and hell are synonymous terms. I got scripture on that, but we don't want to get into all that. Well, we'll hold off on that for the moment. Turn with me to Matthew 23. I want you to see the heart of God. God is just not pleased with hell. He's not pleased with people going to hell. He's not pleased with people being destroyed. Matthew 23. We're just going to look at a couple more scriptures and we'll close out this session and we'll take off from here next week. Matthew 23. I'm in Mark. I need to get to Matthew. Looking at verse 37. This is Jesus. Now remember, Jesus only did what he saw his father doing. Amen? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I and my father are one. He says in John 14, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So if you see anything that Jesus, the way Jesus acted, you should understand that's the way God acts. Because God is like Jesus, and Jesus is like God. Because Jesus is God. Amen. Amen. Verse 37, it says, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Look at this. The compassion he has even upon murderers. Murderers. They killed the prophets that Jesus sent to them. And he said, you stone the prophets that are sent to you. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Who wouldn't? They wouldn't. God is reaching out. He said, I want you with me. But you're the one that's refusing, not me. I'm not pushing you away. You're moving away from me. In verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. In other words, you pushed God out of the house. Mm. You separated yourself from him. Your house is now desolate. Mm. Two more scriptures and we'll close out. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. Now, if you're not careful when you're reading the Gospels, you will think Jesus almost hated the Pharisees, I'm telling you. But you will find that Jesus wanted them to get themselves right. He came to die for the Pharisees too, praise God. He died for everybody, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, every single one of them. God loves his enemies.
Amen.
He's not like us. Somebody do us wrong, we just want to see them suffer. I'm telling you. Yeah, Pastor Troy has had to fight that off too, praise God. Had to even fight it off even last year when I was going through some things. I wanted God to bring lightning and destruction upon my enemies. And God told me, nope, not only will you forgive, but you're going to teach a series on forgiveness. He said, if anybody can get it right, you need to get it right, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So, Luke chapter 7, verse 29, it says, And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God, listen to this, against themselves, being not baptized of him, of John. They rejected God's word. And who did they do it against? Who did they do it against?
Themselves.
Thank you, Michelle. You go to the head of the class, honey. They did it against themselves. It's not God that's doing it. God saw, he told the Pharisees one time, he said, I don't judge you. There's one that judges you. And then in Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas, they went to a certain city, and the Pharisees rejected the word of God. And they said, you rejected the word of God, so you have brought judgment upon yourselves. Mm-hmm. See? We bring judgment on ourselves. It's not God who's doing it.
Amen.
God is begging us to get to stop it. He's begging us to get ourselves straight. He's begging us because he don't want us dying and going there. Mm. But we continually reject God. Let's look at one more passage of scripture. I'm hoping y'all seeing this from the Bible.
Amen.
You're seeing why. We're going to continue to ask some more questions about why hell next week. I thought I was going to be able to do all this today, but then I saw all these scriptures I got. I said, no, this is going to have to be a little bit more of a series. I wanted to finish hell this month, and then next month we talk about heaven. How many of y'all want to hear about heaven?
Amen.
y'all bear with me, okay? Let's get through hell so we can hear about heaven. And y'all
get through hell.
Start talking about heaven and how great and wonderful that place is. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But this ought to teach you number two things. You don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go there, it's not God's fault.
Amen.
If you go there, it's not his fault because he don't want you there.
Amen.
He's doing everything he can to keep you from there,
amen,
including having me teach this stuff, even though he knows, mm-hmm, this is not my favorite topic at all. Praise God.
Amen.
You're going to learn it. Some of y'all might become pastors one day, or preachers, or traveling evangelists. You're going to learn this. You can't preach everything you want to preach. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I thought when I became a preacher, man, I'd be glad one day I become a pastor so I can preach on what I want. Well, found out that ain't true. You preach on what God wants. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. If it ain't your favorite topic, too bad. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Yeah, I would rather preach on healing and miracles, and I get to preach those things every once in a while. But sometimes God needs to deal with sin. Matter of fact,
amen,
one of the books God is going to have me write is a book called Sin Destroys.
Amen.
Which shows you that sin has, from the Bible, sin has its own inherent consequences, and that it is the one that's destroying people and not God himself. The homosexuals are destroying themselves, praise God.
Amen.
God didn't create AIDS.
No.
God didn't create AIDS. No. AIDS came, I think we were listening to something in the laboratory where somebody did an experiment,
yeah,
and,
yes,
they created AIDS and then they introduced it into the homosexual community. Yeah, God didn't do that. God's not a killer.
From monkey,
yeah. That's a different subject all in itself. John chapter 5, one more scripture so we can go home. How many of y'all want to go to hell? Amen. No, thank you. All right, beginning at verse 39, it says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But listen to this. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees again. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. The reason why people go into hell is they won't come to Jesus. Jesus says, behold, listen to this. Jesus comes to people. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Amen.
If any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. Jesus says, I offer it unto you the waters of life freely. Come and drink. Jesus says that his spirit gives, it makes available wells of living water.
Amen.
The precious Holy Spirit, he is out trying to persuade so many. He's trying, the Holy Spirit, he is out convicting the world of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. And he's doing it through you and I. But a lot of people just continually reject him. Well, you know, a good God will not send you to hell. You're right, he won't. You're doing it to yourself, praise God. He don't want you there. He's trying, he's begging you not to go there. But you keep saying, well, a good God won't send you there. I'm trying to tell you, he's not, you're right, he's not sending you. He's begging you to come to him.
Amen.
But you're just enjoying to do what you're doing. You're rejecting him. So, this is the message we got to get across to people, praise God.
Amen.
I'm hoping that you're listening, because as you share the good news of Jesus Christ, you need to be letting people know, you know, because a lot of times when we, and I've seen this happen so many times, and I've probably done it myself as I shared the gospel. Man, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. As almost like you're happy about it. You either better start doing what we're doing, or just gonna suffer eternally. I done told you. I did my part. That's how sometimes when we go out witnessing, that's when we think we just, well, it's, the problem is many times the reason why people don't get saved because they don't see the love.
Amen.
They don't see the love. All we have done is present a God who gives you two alternatives. Either get saved or I'm sending you to hell. But if we begin to present to them a picture of God who is so loving and so kind, he just don't want you there. And he's trying to do everything to keep you from going there, but just like gravity, you're going to go there if you don't listen to him. If we get people to understand that, I think we may win more people to Christ, praise God.
Amen.
How many of y'all believe that?
Amen.
Amen. So hopefully we're getting through the rest of this teaching, we're going to get an even greater picture of God than we've had concerning the subject of hell. And we're going to see that though hell is necessary, it ain't necessary for anybody to go there. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Stand to your feet.
Amen.
All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If there's any area in your life that you've been some habit, whatever it is that's keeping you from fellowship with God, just begin to ask God to forgive you and give it over to him right now. Ask him to deliver you from that thing. It's not necessary that, but if you need, and I'm going to give this invitation to, if you need me to pray with you, because sometimes it takes a man of God to lay hands on you and get you delivered from something. And God has given me that anointing. He's given me a healing anointing, a deliverance anointing. But your faith in God is enough to get you through, praise God.
Amen.
So I want you to bow your head and just meditate for a moment. And if there's anything you think that's in your life that's hindering your walk with God, turn that over to him. If it's something you know you can't seem to break, then come up here and let's break it. Let's help you break this thing. Take a moment. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you need me to pray with you later on, I'm going to stick around. Even I got to go to the fellowship, but that doesn't start till 5 o'clock. So if you need me to stick around, I'm your pastor. I'm here for you. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to ask if Pastor Steve will come up here and close us out in prayer, and then I will give you the benediction.
Amen.